So there is an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others.
Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 89, Slow Down and Live with Henneka Watkiss Porter. Hey, techie community, welcome back and thank you so much for joining me here for episode 89, Slow Down and Live with Henneka Watkiss Porter. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. I hope you all had a wonderfully fun Christmas last week and you're looking forward to the new year. This week, I had an opportunity to chat with Henneka Watkiss Porter, founder and CEO of Patois Apparel. As an entrepreneur, Henneka's journey has led her to become a podcasting coach, an author of 5 books, an international speaker, and host of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. Henneka has interviewed influencers such as Richard Branson, John Lee Dumas, Paul Carrick Brunson, Seth Godin, and many others. Be sure to tune in for Henneka's 200th episode celebration with Seth Godin on January 12th. Henneka is also the creator of the Caribbean's first virtual conference and expo, the Entrepreneurial You Virtual SME Conference and Expo, as well as the online health summit, Slow Down and Live, Health is Wealth, coming on January 6th. Henneka's entrepreneurial bug started as a child selling apples from her neighbor's apple tree. Growing up, Henneka's grandmother was her backbone, providing endless support despite a full understanding of the journey Henneka had embarked on. As a teenager, a local pastor encouraged Henneka to accept leadership opportunities in her community. Listen in as Henneka and I discuss self-care and surrounding yourself with the right people. Henneka, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Lori, I am so super excited for what we're going to be chatting about. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
As am I. But before we actually dive into your entrepreneurial journey and how you became the host of the Entrepreneurial You and the founder of multiple different practices and an author, we want to rewind the clock. Let's go back to high school or even junior high school, like somewhere around the age of 14 or 15. Think about when your elders would ask you what it is you're going to do in the future. What did you think the future would look like for you?
Wow. That's such a loaded question because there's so many things going on there. So first of all, perhaps I need to start with the fact that at that point in my life, I didn't have much self-concept. You know, self-esteem, self-worth, self-anything. Didn't know who I was, what I wanted to be. Certainly, though, I knew from an early age that I wanted to be in business, right? There were a myriad of options that came to mind. And as I got a little older than 14, I would think about, okay, maybe I'm going to do a restaurant, you know, like a Jamaican cuisine, something. Maybe I'm going to do a full service spa. Maybe I'm going to do a boutique, just so many things. But even in retrospect, I look back and I say to myself, oh my gosh, you know, you've always been an entrepreneur, because even things like selling apples, my neighbor had an apple tree. And I would get apples from that yard and I will go to my gate after school or something. And I will sell it, you know, in the country, St. Mary, where I grew up, you know, people always pass by. So I would sell apples, right? So very entrepreneurially minded, but yes. Had to overcome a lot of odds. Didn't have the parental support as I would like to have had, but I did have an adopted grandmother, you would say, or, you know, who took me under her wings, but then there were a number of things that came with that. And she did her best, but there are a lot of things that she was lacking and didn't know quite knew at the time how to support any journey, just that she was proud of me and would do anything. You know, she and my grandfather at the time would do anything to see me come out to something good, as we say in Jamaica.
That's always important. Having those people who support you, believe in you, surrounding yourself with those people who can help you believe in yourself, even when you do begin to doubt, is always important. That's
absolutely. I mean, without support, and I mean, in my later years too, like in my 16 or so, there was a pastor who kind of, he let me felt like I was the best thing since sliced bread. Threw me in some deep ends. I would do just about things that he would encourage me to do, speak up, lead in church and things like those. So that was the kind of support that I had.
Mm-hmm. That's always important, having that encouragement too, to become a leader. Without it, sometimes it's difficult to accomplish for yourself. There are those who are natural born leaders, and then there are those who need that little bit of a push to help mm-hmm. themselves get to that space. So that's awesome. You were selling apples way before the entrepreneurial journey became even a thought process for you, because it was just there. It's something that was in you. Tell me about what it was that brought you to your entrepreneurial journey. Where did your entrepreneurial journey begin? What did that look like?
Wow, I like to talk about this. So like I mentioned, I have over time had several different thoughts of what I might pursue. And after a while, I became like, it was such a burden on me. Like I kept searching, and I even remember searching online for business plan, sample business plan that I could use to kind of put something together. Like after a while, I just stopped thinking about it. But it wasn't until 2007 when I was at home recuperating from a minor surgical procedure I had done at one of our university hospital here in Jamaica, that I laid on my bed and I was supposed to be resting, but I was watching a television program, and that sparked something in me, because what was on the program, I cannot recall, but all I remember that somebody was presenting some business that they were launching mm-hmm. and it just dawned on me, you know, I'm going to do a t-shirt line. Right. And I jumped out of bed again, forgetting that I should have been resting. No. Yeah, man, jumped out of bed. And I got so excited. I began to ask, call around, you know, to some of my colleagues. By this time, I was working with our Port Authority of Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And I remember having dabbled a bit into the marketing arena when I worked at another firm called Lasco Distributors. I was doing procurement, but being in the department that I was and having the leader that I had, I was exposed to other departments. So marketing in particular, I worked closely with. Mm-hmm. And working closely with that department, I was exposed to everything that I would need to start my own business. So I remember calling colleagues from there, people that I would want to do work with. Hey, what would you wear on a t-shirt that would say Jamaica, but without saying Jamaica? And I asked, and I got some names. I didn't want a name that would have been offensive or, you know, with expletives or anything like that. I got a few ideas, but none of them resonated with me over the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I just came up with the idea of patois, because, mm-hmm. you know, the language, our language is such that people worldwide have an affinity towards it. Yes, it's a little political here in Jamaica, because it's associated with the bottom of the class. And we're still very classist here in Jamaica. So while others celebrate us externally, we are grappling with our own identity crisis, identity in accepting and appreciating that which we have. So on the one hand, there was that, but predominantly there was an affinity towards anything Jamaican. And that's how it kind of came about. I began to register. I started the process of registering. I remember even shortly thereafter, I went, that this was like about August 7, 2007, to be exact. Mm-hmm. And shortly thereafter, I visited my sister in the UK because I was vacationing. But can I tell you, I did no vacationing, because I just, one thing led to another. I just started going around. I brought up a few samples. I was checking out overseas manufacturers. I came back, by the time I had come back from vacation, which I didn't really have because it wasn't really one, I had registered the business and just was just going like an energizer bunny, like, and it just motivated and inspired me to start. So that's how that began from 13 years ago.
13 years ago, mm-hmm. a minor procedure and a random television show.
Right.
Sparked a pivot in your life that I bet you couldn't have even begun to imagine at that point.
Can I tell you, and it took me down such an interesting trajectory, because that was in 2007. By 2010, I've had thoughts of quitting my full-time job because I was still full-time, gainfully employed at the time. Mm-hmm. But it was doing so well. I was getting such love from the media because the idea really was to, I had a Jamaican, the Jamaican expression, various Jamaican expressions. But not only that, I would have, I placed under them the equivalent in English. So it was kind of funny, mm-hmm. right? And that got traction in the media. I got in some stores, got distribution at the airport, and just it was just doing well. And so eventually I quit my full-time job in 2011.
Congratulations. That is outstanding. And that was the founding of Patois Apparel. So that was the true beginning of your entrepreneurial journey.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, you've gone on to do a million other projects and
too
other
many things. I may have added.
Yes, you have become an author, an international public speaker. You have the podcast. Please, we would like to know, what do you feel was the most difficult piece of the journey thus far? What do you think has been the biggest hiccup that you've experienced?
I think so. Patois Apparel set the stage for me, kind of exposed me to what is possible. Mm-hmm. And what my potentials are, because I grew up in a situation where I didn't quite know, like, you know, I can be anything really, because, you know, not having the particular surname that would open doors for you, mm-hmm. or the color of my skin wasn't one that readily allows for connection. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm a woman. So all of that combined, I think the biggest challenge for me was to get over where I came from, right? Mm-hmm. Getting yep. over that. Yep. And, you know, for persons to take me serious. And I was so serious, like people eventually took me serious, and even not having all of those leads exactly. that I could have, those things that would give you donkey's lens, they mm-hmm. say, mm-hmm. right? But I was able to overcome that. But it being the first business, there are several mistakes that I made. Mm-hmm. And they were learning opportunities for me. Mm-hmm. So, for example, not having the right mentorship and not trusting persons enough to let them in, because I just thought that nobody can do it the way I want it to be done, and it's just going to be different. So not being able to fully let go and let others in. When, you know, your baby is, when you've given birth to a child, though I don't have that experience personally, but I can just imagine that you don't want to, it's hard to let go, right? Yeah. And so letting others in, that for me was the most challenging things. And of course, I've had financial challenges along the way. Even after I started Patois, a couple of years after that, I went into, I did a sauce line, and that's the name of that sauce line became a contention for court. And I settled, in retrospect, I keep saying retrospect, it was a huge mistake, I shouldn't have. Mm. But hindsight is always 20/20. So that's another thing. I think for me, I don't even think so much more, it was the money that I spent in terms of settling. But it was more, you know what, I should have trusted the process, because I knew that it was an easy case for me to win. But, you know, sometimes you just pay the price. You don't want to have anything cost your peace, because that's so important. But in retrospect, that's a decision. If I could overturn, I would have overturned that decision. Mm. Yeah.
When you look back on certain areas that you know you could have pursued in a different manner or a different path. Mm. And you could have made different decisions sometimes in that moment for the sake of peace of mind. There are decisions that are made that sometimes you may look at differently in the future. But I love the comparison that you made of having a child and actually letting somebody else. That is such a perfect comparison, because your practice is your baby. That is mm-hmm. what it is. You spend years putting it together and allowing somebody else to make decisions or begin mm-hmm. taking action in that practice is a really difficult thing to do, to actually begin bringing other people on board or letting them in. How do you feel, or what do you feel helped you the most in terms of getting past that point, to have a mentor or allowing other people to assist in your practice?
So there is an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. Mm-hmm. And I think at one point, my business was part of the Branson Center of Entrepreneurship Caribbean. I've had other informal mentors before, but out of that, I was assigned in a formal way, a mentor, that I recognized how valuable he was to the business. I mean, after a while, the relationship didn't quite work out and stuff because he had the time, he had other activities, engagements that took up his time, so he wasn't able. So the relationship didn't quite work out. But after that, I was given another mentor. And to this day, and that's years ago, and to this day, we still maintain a relationship. And I credit a lot of what I'm doing now to just having conversations with him. So I see the value of letting others in on what you're doing. So that, because four eyes are certainly better than two, two minds are better than one, and so on and so forth. So I can see the value in that. And I really encourage that. Like, mentorship is big, big for business win.
Definitely need somebody to bounce ideas off of as you begin the journey and as you're moving through the journey. A second set of eyes and a second set of ears is never a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But what do you feel really helped you to? Do you feel it was the reflection of that recognition, having had a mentor and then looking at the results in your practice? Or do you feel there was something else that helped for you to go ahead and actually begin taking that advice?
I think after a while, you grow up, I suppose, and we're entrepreneurial babies first, and then we go through the infancy stage, the teenage years, the adolescence, and then we really get mature, right? And you the wisdom that you have now versus 10 years ago, you know, it's chalk to cheese, right? Mm-hmm. You are never wrong per se, but it's just where you were on your journey, and you just have to allow everything to unfold. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that's what happened, right? I began to enjoy the process a lot more. You know, I'm no longer as eager to get to the destination because I realized the journey is the reward. The journey is the destination. And so for me, it's about taking the wisdom from the books, from mentors. I mean, certainly I have my own points of view and certainly I will make my own decision. But at the end of the day, taking everything that others have and put it into one and see, you know, take, as we say in Jamaica, we chew the meat and spit out the bones, right? So you can see I'm very Jamaican, right?
Too cute. I understand 100%. As you get older, as you've been in the business for longer and the wisdom that you gain as you begin reflecting, you can apply that wisdom to your journey as you go along. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, no matter who we are, and no matter where we begin, we all start off with the trial and error phase. So tell us a little bit about your conferences. I know that you actually host several of them. I would love for you to share a little bit about, please.
I had, before everybody was online and virtual summit and virtual events were a thing, I was doing them in 2017. I did a hybrid of a expo and conference in 2017 called the Entrepreneurial You SME Virtual Conference and Expo, mm-hmm. where over 4 days I brought 18 amazing international speakers from four different countries to share on entrepreneurship, you know, topics that are relevant to small businesses and so on. So I did that. The sponsors were on board, the attendees, everybody gained so much from that. It was a great initiative, if I may say so myself, and the first in the Caribbean of its kind, because you normally have either an expo or a conference, but to have the hybrid of both of them, it was at the time before COVID made it a thing, you know, that. And then in 2018, I started with LeaderCast events. Now, LeaderCast is the largest one-day leadership event globally. And that happens in Atlanta every year. And since 2018, every year I host two of their conferences. It's streamed in. So it's streamed around the world. Over 100,000 attendees combined. Because some of the biggest names you can think of. When you think about Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, Laura Bush, and just so many other amazing folks that speak at that conference. So I hosted that and did that in 2018, 19. And of course, I also did the first event in May of this year, mm-hmm. which is because every year there's a one for men and women. And then in May and then in October, there's a woman. So I didn't host a woman this year at all. So I've been doing that since 2018. And then coming out of a health challenge that I faced this year, in April, beginning in April, where I completely suffered burnout. I completely, it was just, I don't even want to go into all of that right now, but it was a hot mess in terms of what I did to my health, right? I recognized the need to slow down and live. In fact, that event got its name out of one day. I was literally talking to the Lord and asking him to direct me, and like I normally do. And so he directed me to this Our Daily Bread edition when I was looking for something to read. And it says, the heading says, slow down and live. And from that, the name of the event came about. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to share the story. I'm going to talk about some topics that we don't normally speak about. So things like adrenal fatigue, things like magnesium, you're told to take your vitamin C and your vitamin B and your all these other supplements, but nobody talks about magnesium, right? Mm-hmm. Some other things, mental health, nobody wants to address that. Mm-hmm. Vegan cooking and stuff and vegan lifestyle. So mm-hmm. 5 speakers, a moderator and myself as a host, happening on January 6th from 10 a.m. Jamaican time to 2 p.m. I mean, all is welcome. It's only an investment of $29.99 US, so $29.99. Right. Slow down and live. Health is wealth.
Slow down and live. Health is wealth conference.
Yes. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Excellent. I will be sure to include a link to that through the show notes page. So I'd love to know, if you had the ability to go back to, say, December of 2019 and tell yourself something, what do you think that would be and why?
Slow down and live. Health is wealth. Because, you know, in 2019, like the health journey that I've been on as an entrepreneur, it's just, boy, it's a miracle that I'm still here. And I give thanks for that. Mm-hmm. But in 2019, in December, even before in December, December, I kind of went on a mini vacation to visit my mom in St. Martin. Yeah. And things began to turn around. But prior to that, I recognize, and it's now looking back 1 year later, that I recognize the cause of that depression that had begun to sunk in. And it was because I was taking stuff for sleep and anxiety and all of these things. And so 1 year later, I'm seeing all of the effects of those things. But usually at the end of the year, I would stop and write my goals and stuff for the begin the next year. Mm-hmm. But somehow I could get no resolve in my spirit to start doing any of that, right? And when I look back, I realized that God was saying something to me. Like, you're not going to need to make any plans because, A, you're not going to be well, one. And two, there's going to be a global pandemic mm-hmm. that's preventing anybody from doing anything that they planned, right? You're just going to have to pivot. You're going to have to rearrange and readjust.
Yeah.
But part of the big lesson for me, though, is to continuously tell myself it's okay to slow down, and I need to slow down. That self-care is most important, and everything else can wait.
Very much so. That, I think, is the resounding lesson that all of us have learned this year. Just the recognition of how important it is to really slow down. So I'm excited for that. And I look forward to the conference, and I hope everyone will definitely join us. But yeah. I am curious if you happen to have any tips, tricks, or tools that you might want to share with the audience that you feel like has helped you on your journey, or that you feel might help the audience throughout theirs.
Mm-hmm. All right, certainly. And even as it's just a little bit about slow down and live too, just so mm-hmm. If just anybody in your audience that, you know, anybody's listening and is interested in being a part of aligning their brands with this event, sponsors welcome. And the rates go from as low as $300 US. So
nice.
Sponsors are welcome as well. If you're in the health industry, you want, you know, anything to do with, you want to align yourself to something like this, the message that this is sending, then by all means be a part of it.
Wonderful. And how can you go about becoming a sponsor?
Oh, all you have to do is just say, hey, I need to get that sponsorship package, and I send it right over to you. You can, first of all, I know we're going to be sharing where you can contact me.
Yes.
But just for this purpose, let me just say my website. So HenikaWatkisPorter.com. There is a WhatsApp icon on the homepage. Send me a WhatsApp that comes directly to my phone, or on the website itself, all the different social media platforms that I'm on.
Perfect.
Right. So Excellent. But tools and tricks. What has helped me the most? So, you know, there's a back, and you know this, when you're trying to schedule some meeting with somebody, and especially if you're scheduling within different time zones, you know, between different time zones, and you're going back and forth. Do you have 10 a.m. open? No, I'm not available. Like, you know, the back and the forth thing. I love, one of my best tools is Calendly.
Yes.
Because it eliminates all of that. You know, persons in their own time zone get to see when persons are available, and you see the time in your the slot in your own time zone. So it takes out the backing and forwarding, which I absolutely love. So that is one of my productivity thing. But also, I just want to share another one, like notes, Google Notes. You know, you're always when you always have ideas and things are always coming, and you do, like, on the go, you can always jot something down, take a note so that you can go back to it. I mean, I have so many notes. Like, just the other day, I just went through and cleaned up some of them.
Yeah.
I decided, no, just too much. I'm not working with this anymore. I'm not interested in this. Let me delete that. Right. Yeah. But then, yeah, but it's always important to have something handy, and technology allows for that. You can jot your note down and come back to it later. So
those are excellent. I love those. Both of those pieces are definitely pieces I also have used or have used on a regular basis, the Google Notes specifically. And I actually try to schedule on a quarterly basis to clean those out. So excellent tools. And I'll be sure to link to both of those through the show notes page for the audience. Do you have a book coming out? I know that you're a 5 times author. But do you have one that we're highlighting during this episode?
Actually, I'm still promoting Podcast Power, which was published this year in January. So Podcast Power, the quick start guide to launching and leveling up your brand. Now, I love this book so much because it is, I mean, I love all my other books, but particularly this one, because ever since I decided to go all in where podcasting is concerned. So I'm a podcast coach. Of course, I'm a podcast host. Coach, I train, I do workshops, but I also produce podcasts for companies. So I thought it fitting to create the book, write the book around it as well, because I became the Jamaican podcast queen for Jamaica. I'm just promoting that platform. And so many celebrities now are starting podcasts in Jamaica. So many people are doing podcasts who never considered one before, or even knew what it was. So, you know, that book for me, and the good thing about it, yes, it's available on Amazon and so on and on my website, but I just got a distributor for the book who is going to take it to places that I couldn't take it for, you know, take it. So really, really excited about it. Everybody who has bought it, they've come back to me with good reviews, great reviews. And so it is like one of my books that I'm most proud about.
I will be sure to link to the Podcast Power book from the show notes as well. And I'm excited to grab my copy too. I'm curious if you would share with us how it was you made the pivot into podcasting itself.
Huh, great question. So I had a store that Patois Pilot I first started. Had a store, brick and mortar. In retrospect, I shouldn't have had anything physical. It should have been totally online. So when things, I mean, and it was at a place where it was very costly, the rent and so on. So when I began to decide I need to pivot, I had some discussions with some persons that were in my circle. And then it just came up, let me do a podcast, because I had a radio show before. And the radio show was, of course, on Power 106, is one of Jamaica's biggest radio platforms. I decided to change it from a radio program, keeping the same name, and do a podcast. And now, in over, like, I think the last time I checked, it was about 127 countries that the podcast is airing. So I'm really excited. The journey has taken me far and wide in terms of speaking, in terms of attending conferences and connecting me with such of the biggest names like Seth Godin. And I celebrate my 200th episode in January. And so Seth is going to be my second time guest, and we're going to have a live discussion around his latest book, The Practice. So
excellent.
And if anybody wants the links, I can share. I'm going to share with you the links to the book, the event, and all of those things. So you can just readily fetch those.
Excellent. I know that the listeners are going to be interested in that conversation. And I myself am looking forward to checking that out. And that'll be in January with Seth Godin. Congrats on your upcoming 200th episode. That is quite—
Thank you, Lori.
That is outstanding. The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with a business idea in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. We would love to help you in the many areas of your multiple practices, from Fatwa apparel to international speaking to your podcast to being an author, we'd love to know, what are the challenges that you currently face? What is it that keeps you up at night? If you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in any of your practice areas, what do you feel like that would be and why?
Okay, so here's the thing. Everybody wants to get more clients, right? So that is always the number one thing, getting more clients and getting high paid clients as well. So one of the things I really want to focus on, if I had a magic wand, right, it would be to identify those clients who need me to produce a podcast for them, right? So let me handle that part of the job for you. You have your expertise, go spread your expertise, but allow me to do the groundwork for you in terms of producing your podcast, whether it is for individual or for companies. So that's the number one thing for me right now.
Wow, that is exciting. I think the audience needs to get to work on that tool.
Yes, because if we
could find a tool that would align those who are podcasters or practices, you know, businesses that have a podcast that they're attempting to produce but don't want to have that additional employee on the payroll per se, or that podcaster that doesn't have the time to do the back end production, to be able to have a direct link to those who would produce the podcasts outside of tools such as Upwork or Fiverr or those areas, a direct link to podcast producers would be an impressive tool. So techie community, get on it. You have another awesome tool that can be created right now.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Hanneke, you have been outstanding. I have truly enjoyed you being with us and sharing your wisdom and your energy with the community. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you. I know that they can reach you via social media, but please share what that would be.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again, Lori. And thank you to your listeners for tuning in, for listening to us talk about my business. So HennekeWatkisPorter.com, and that there are links to all my social media on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, which is, you can find Henneke Watkisporter if you're looking for it. Or if you just simply want to send me a message, you can just go to the website, HennekeWatkisPorter.com, send me a WhatsApp, which comes directly to my phone, and I'll be happy to provide you with that information.
Hanneke, thank you again for sharing your journey and your wisdom with the community and for providing the listeners with so many tips and tools. Congratulations again on your upcoming 200th episode. I look forward to joining you for your discussion with Seth Godin. Techie community, thank you for joining us here for episode 89, our final episode of 2020. Be sure to join us for Hanneke's 200th episode celebration on January 12th. If you're interested in attending or sponsoring the Slow Down and Live Health is Wealth Conference on January 6th, be sure to reach out to Hanneke via WhatsApp, which you can access directly from our homepage at HennekeWatkisPorter.com. We will also be sure to include links to Hanneke's homepage, her podcast Power Book, and the Health is Wealth Slow Down and Live Conference on our show notes page at technology-equality.com/HennekeWatkisPorter. Self-care is easily ignored, guys, and yet it's so unbelievably important. As Hanneke so eloquently stated, the journey is the reward. The journey is the destination. So remember to slow down and live and take care of yourself along the way. Wishing you all a safe and prosperous 2021. Thank you again for joining me here for episode 89. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. And until our next episode in the new year, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions. Enjoy the week.